I joined the Jubilee Band.
That's Derek.
And I knew his father was a euphonium player, and also his grandfather, who was a euphonium player, because he upset his father, because he was so good at maths, and he all his interest was music, and he went to some music college, something up the north, yeah. And I used to pick him up and from the station, and he used to join in and help us out, because he was a fantastic player, he was, yeah. Where Homestead Lane is now, there used to be an old, I don't know if it was actually a church, but it's an old building, like a church, and there's one big room inside. And there was one of these pianos that plucked the strings instead of hitting them. What was it called? A harpsichord or something? And we used to practice in there. And I knew two other chaps who were in the band, and they said to me, why didn't you join the band? So I joined, and they put me on the drums, and I didn't like that. So anyway, they gave me this cornet. And I did a bit of practice, and no, I took to it, and I could play pretty good in no time at all. The war started up then. The Jubilee Band must have stopped about that time. We used to employ professional conductors to run us through when we went to a contest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by a bit of luck, I played in a four-piece band, a big band, a gypsy band, and an orchestra. I said, I used to bluff my way through, and he said, I know that. But the thing is that I was principal. For many years I was principal, because we only played around, you know, we went to contests. And when somebody better came along, I dropped back, and then they took over. The conductor said to me, we got a boy coming from school, and his brother's a professional violinist, and he's got plenty of potential, and could he take over this main seat? And I said, yeah, that's okay. So when he came along, his feet couldn't reach the ground of the chair, but he could read the music. We went to a contest. I got a tape there where the contest went, and we won the contest. The BBC televised us right through. Yeah, I wasn't. He was the principal, and he had a throat infection the night before the, yeah. So we got this little girl in the band. They put her down as principal cornet player. But who won the contest was Derek, because he was playing a soprano, and all the difficult parts he was playing, putting it with his soprano, and he hadn't rehearsed it. He was such a good musician, so he was responsible for that. Anyway, went through. We won the contest. So we were in the fourth section. The band was when it started. There's four sections. And then we got in the third section easily. And then in the second section, which is much more difficult. Mm-hmm. And then they nearly got, I think they did get eventually into the championship section. But when they got that far, I knew I was finished, because it was too much of an effort for me, too much rehearsing and all like that. Most of the time we rehearsed in Blackthorn School, mm-hmm. with a big mural on the wall there. But then that new school they opened up further down the road there on... Yeah, it would be Henderson School, yes. So we rehearsed there, one or two other places, I think we rehearsed. We were there for many years. Yeah, yes. Well, we played down the playing fields on Sundays. I did engagements at Rocket Hall and places like that. And Murphy Radio, we had a concert there. It's yeah, sports days we played there. But what other engagements? We give a concert every year. In Campus West now, we had a few concerts there, where Councillor Lewis organised. Yeah, we played in that, the march. Oh, and Armistice Day, of course.
Did you have to buy your own uniforms?
Oh, yes, because on that tape, you'll see us walking along all ragged looking with old clothes on, marching around this factory, Lincoln Electric, where we used to practice. That's one place we used to practice, Lincoln Electric. And the BBC took us marching along there, and us. And plea for money for uniforms, and that's how we got the uniforms. I mean, when you started with the band, you was playing all orchestral stuff that had been transferred for the brass instrument. When you played in the brass band, you're playing all the time, because you're the soloist and you're playing all the time. Everybody's playing all the time. In an orchestra, you're sitting there counting 64 bars. Two bars to play, and then another 64 bars on the brass instrument, because the violins and other instruments are playing you a part. But then you've got the brass band composers come along, and very famous. I could play you some stuff on there now composers that composed lots of fantastic music, especially for the brass band. Because I used to be a busker, played by ear. I remember once we were playing down the playing fields, and it was da 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 desert, the desert song, and it was a melody in the desert song, and the music went away, and I'm playing it all, because it was played in the two keys I could busk with, you know, from here, and I played right the way through to the end of the band. Charlie Kershaw, which comes into the story later on, he was a trumpet player. And he played for Maisie Willicks's big band, Nine Piece, on Thursdays in the cherry tree, in the dances there. And his brother, who used to be a professional pianist, lived in Verulam Close. We went down there for an audition because they just opened this army. The war started and they got this army base up at Owellin. And there was a chap there, was a pianist and a drummer, and they wanted to form a four-piece band. So we had to go through this little audition, that's the word. And he got some music out, very simple, The Toy Soldiers or something. And me and Des played it, and the pianist said, "That's fine, you know, it's fine." So we went up to this army place in the next few days, had a couple of rehearsals. And the following Saturday, we were playing in St Mary's Hall, which is burned now, down now. It's down the bottom of the hill, it's all well in. And they paid us about 18 shillings, I think it was, for the engagement. And I was only earning 17 shillings in the ovens for a week. And we played that there for a while because I realised the war started. Charlie Kershaw, this first trumpet, played for Maisie Willicks, said, "Why don't you come and be second trumpet in the cherry tree?" So, okay, so I'm starting there. I wasn't a very good reader because I used to be what they call a busker, played by ear before I'd learned the music. And it was one of my shortcomings, really, that I couldn't read very well. I could read simple stuff, but anything very difficult, I'd have to come home and rehearse it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I sat beside Des over there, and for a good while. And but it was during that 18 months period, and Des was also in there, playing tenor sax. And one of the players there was Roy Willicks, and he's an alto sax player because his mother played the accordion, the piano, and his father played the tenor sax. And they were a musical family, the other boys were as well. Incident that happened while I was there one night, they had these big heavy glass chandeliers, and they were supposed to have 400 people in there, and they used to pack the people in. The police used to get upset about it all, and the floor used to be trembling, and one of these chandeliers came down and never touched anybody. The following week they took them all down and put lightweight plastic ones there, in the cherry tree, which is a nice dance hall there, yeah.
So the band you had playing in the cherry tree, how many members were there?
There was about nine or ten. Well, it's a big band, in fact, isn't it? The other band was just the four of us. And, you know, we used to get the full musical scores, but in the big band you read the score from top to bottom, all the arrangements of the music. But in our little band with the army bass, we just played the melodies. You know, and he'd repeat it, and the pianists would repeat it, and we might play two bits together. So it's all very simple, you know. Called the Blue Lyres.
The Blue Lyres.
Spelled L-Y-R-E-S, because it's an instrument. Maisie Willicks was she was the boss. She wore the trousers. Maisie Willicks. And it was her band, and she was very strict. Don't play any wrong notes, play very double piano when you come to the difficult parts. So, you know, she used to tell me. Charlie was a bit of a leading trumpet player and was a bit of a comedian. He liked to play jokes. And the famous tango, was it a tango rumba? Was Jealousy. Jealousy, you know it? Jealousy, da 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 da. Anyway, it's probably the most famous. And if you moved the turned the copy and folded it in half, the word lousy was on the back. Lousy. And he went down the stands and turned them off. So all the public was coming in there. And that upset us. Every Thursday. Because I must have gone in there probably the last 6 months of my time. And I also played with Maisie Blue Willicks, the Blue Lyres. They used to have a dance hall up at the John Lewis's. They used to all dances there. Yeah, you're right, it's the restaurant, yeah. We played there a few times, yeah. But there was no band, really, but we joined just before we went into the forces. And we didn't do any playing, I don't think, but I remember going to the house and getting a uniform. It's the Murfollies.
Oh.
This happened in that 18 months again. There were people, Sid Rumblow, a Hatfield boy, because he was manager of a music shop in the town centre. And then he started his own shop just after the war thing. Now, he's a good musician. He played the violin and he played the alto saxophone. And he used to run dances in the old canteen in Murphy's. It's up Bridge Road opposite B&Q, old concrete black floor it was. And I played there a couple of times with him. And one of Maisie Willicks's trumpet sons, who was a trumpet player, emigrated, never saw much of him. He played there for a couple of dances. So Sid Rumblow formed a band and a concert party. So you had Frank Fricker, a pianist, and he used to play trees, and he used to do this, trees. And he was a professional. He was in it, and there was various conjurers and all this. And we went around the county to old people's places. And sometimes if it was a pit, you played down below, but sometimes the orchestra, you had a sort of gypsy orchestra at the back. You saw all that was going on with the conjurers, and it's a joke, really, when you see these professionals from the back, like, not from the front, on the concert. So I played in an orchestra every Christmas time, you know. And they used to fill up the empty spaces with professionals from London. Well, he had this gypsy band that I showed you the photograph of there. But he had the dance band, it was only just anybody who turned up, in the ballroom, as I said, they had the people who was dodging the column, you know, in the Murfollies.